weeks before Great Lent begins with the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. Another word for publican is tax collector. This is the same time of preparation God affords us to get our spiritual house ready to make the most of the holy season that we're about to enter with Christ. And because I can't see everyone, I'm going to move over here. We start thinking about our fasting, our praying, our priorities, our spiritual goals that we want for ourselves for this Lent. But because of our busy lives, we can often find ourselves running about during Lent just as preoccupied as we were before, if we don't set it aside now. In which case, our following of the rules of Great Lent, and I do put those in quotes because we know that that's not what they are. They aren't just rules for us, but they are tools that Christ God gives us to heal us, to grow us more and more into his likeness. But if we're looking on them as rules, the fasting increased prayers and worshiping, more giving of offerings, can quickly become dry or rote. In other words, we start to think of all the things that we're doing right, that we can check off our list, instead of focusing on Christ to be and become more and more of the woman and man that God in Lent desires to make us to be and designs to grow us to be by our internalizing of the lessons in faith that this holy season affords us. This is the problem of self-righteousness that we find in abundant display in the Pharisee of today's gospel. He enumerates all of his accomplishments, the things he's doing right, the things, the sins, the great sins that he's avoided. All good in themselves, vital, in fact. He fasts, he prays, he gives. He doesn't break the commandments, but it's all coming back empty because it's produced in him a spirit of pride and self-reliance over God-reliance. And so we think to ourselves in our honest moments how easy it is for us to be just like the Pharisee. How easy it is. We're focused on the doing of the faith, our book knowledge, or our ethnic heritage, whatever it is, our checking of the rules of Lent off of our list, to the exclusion of its inner meaning and application for our daily lives, for our growth in our relationship and communion with Jesus Christ. Now let's be clear, the Pharisee isn't condemned because he fasts twice a week. That's what we do. That's what God would have us do. We remember the betrayal of Christ on Wednesdays. We remember his crucifixion on Fridays. These are good and pious activities that we should be doing. He gives of his tithes. But no, these actions are commendable. All faithful Orthodox Christians are called to do likewise. But no, it's rather the spirit of boastfulness, the lauding of his own actions, thinking that these things justify his self-glorification, that they merit favor with God. These are among the sins of the Pharisee. Proverbs 27:2 reminds us that we should never praise ourselves, but rather, as the proverb says, let a neighbor praise you and not your own mouth. Or as Christ says in today's gospel, that he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Likewise, we too can commit the sin of the Pharisee if in our repentance and confession we seek to mitigate or justify ourselves before God for the sins that we've committed, shifting the blame or at least watering it down, lessening our responsibility for the sins that we commit. The final sin of the Pharisee is his condemnation of the publican, the tax collector, next to him. The Pharisee can't see into the publican's heart, but he judges him based on what he knows of his occupation or his past sins, with no reference to the repentance and forgiveness that God offers us all. And so in his pridefulness, he judges his brother. And he forgets God's mercy. And what is the point of repentance? The publican, the tax collector, on the other hand, recognizes himself as a sinner. So much so that he is on his face before God, not even daring to lift his face toward heaven. He's utterly prostrate in body and in soul, confessing his sins openly. Like the harlot who anoints Christ's feet, weeping openly for her sins, the publican too finds favor with God. And it reminds us of what King David, the truth that King David gives us in his 50th Psalm, saying, "A humble and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." This is the spirit that you and I cultivate in Lent if we wish to see growth in the knowledge and love of God, if we desire to deepen our relationship and communion with God, to aid us in discovering more of ourselves, more of where lie the raw areas of our soul, the parts of us that are still in need of God's healing, the parts of us where the passions still too easily reign. We fast, we pray, we worship, we give of ourselves. This is the formula that Christ God has entrusted to us through his church, out of his great love and mercy for us, that has worked for countless sinners before us throughout all the generations. You and I can make full use of Great Lent only if we follow the prescription that God provides us through his holy church. And again, we find ourselves in danger in doing so of being just like the Pharisee. But we pray the prayer of St. Ephrem, that great prayer of repentance. We apply it to our own lives. This is always has to be the object of our prayers. Anything that we utter with our lips, we need to be striving to be focused on our own hearts and our own souls as we're praying it. We pray it to ourselves. O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, despair, lust of power, and idle talk. I don't look at my neighbor when I pray that prayer of St. Ephrem that we pray throughout Lent. I look to myself. I look to my own soul. I look to the areas that need healing in Christ. The weekend services of Great Vespers and the Divine Liturgy become even more important during Lent as we remember Christ's resurrection in the midst of being in the desert with him, fasting and praying, and the pre-sanctified liturgies on Wednesday that enable us to not only get through the week, but do so being able to make spiritual progress. These services communicate to us the message of the truth of God that you and I need to hear if we are to become more like the publican and less like the Pharisee. To think that we can do Lent on our own without the guidance of the church and our participation in the life of the church is, well, the sin of the Pharisee. It's prideful self-righteousness. But Christ God always desires more for us. He desires to grow us in the truth that he is through our increased communion with him. But in order to grow, we avail ourselves of the formula of growth that has held true for sinners turned saints throughout the centuries of the church. Fasting isn't something that we do on our own or on our own terms. We look for guidance. We look for a blessing. We look to become obedient because in a learning obedience, we grow in humility, we grow in discipline, and we grow more like Christ. Because of his humility through his confession and prostration, the publican's prayers are received by God. They are pleasing to God. He leaves the temple restored, forgiven, cleansed, while the Pharisee in his pridefulness and proclamation of his self-righteousness is condemned, even though he's doing all the externals that are important and required of each of us. If the heart is not engaged, if we're not centered on Christ God in our fasting, our praying, and our worship, our time, our labors, our will, we can't expect to grow in our faith and arrive at Pascha, at Easter, furthered in the kingdom of God. Now the question always comes up, what do I do if I feel indifferent in my fasting, my praying, and my worship? This is a common problem. We never want to be solely reliant on our feelings when it comes to the living out of our faith and life in Christ. We don't not come to church just because we don't feel like going to church that morning. We don't not fast because, well, we just don't feel like fasting. The kingdom of God is taken by force. We have to struggle and strive. This is what Christ means when he says, unless you are willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you can't have my life in you. You and I take up that cross every time we battle with our own willfulness, our own selfishness, our own pridefulness that would otherwise keep us from doing the things that we need to do. And just by putting us in the midst of the church, putting ourselves in divine service, praying that prayer of St. Ephrem, we have the opportunity to be able to hear God's voice. We have the opportunity for just maybe a little bit of that grace and that love of God to penetrate the thick exoskeleton of maybe a hardened soul. But if we don't do those things at all, then it's even more difficult for us to be able to be open to God's love and his mercy and his work in our lives. So every time we pray, every time we prostrate ourselves in humility, every time we say to God, I desire more, forgive me, Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, God hears us. Even if we feel like maybe I don't mean it totally, or how much do I mean it? All such second guessing of that is really unprofitable for us. Even the desire to want to desire is heard by God. God hears us, God works in us, and he deepens our communion with him as we present ourselves to him. And such conviction is much less likely to occur if we aren't availing ourselves of our communal worship of God, of the sacraments, of the prayers and lessons of the church. Our growth in faith may be almost imperceptible to us. Like growing up as a child, right? We don't really see it happening. And we parents notice it faster, but as a child, you know, certainly don't notice it until a few years have passed. Maybe you see a picture of yourself as a baby, or maybe some relative who hasn't seen you in a while remarks on how much you've grown. And then the difference is obvious. But so it is with us, with our growth in the faith and life that is alone in Christ. And so rest assured, brothers and sisters, God honors our striving and our struggling to grow, to heal, to deepen our faith, to repent. And it can begin with a desire, or even a desire to desire, if we're willing to prioritize the life that is only in him. If we're willing to look inside ourselves during Lent and present ourselves to God humbly and confessing, as did the publican, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I pray that this too will be our prayer, our beseeching of God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, as we prepare ourselves in body and in soul for the holy season that is before us. And I encourage you now to be looking at your calendar, to be blocking out those days, those pre-sanctified liturgies, to not give yourselves the excuses this year, to not avail yourselves of what Christ would give you through the church to grow and help you to make spiritual progress. It all begins now in the Triodos. This is the time that we begin to focus in and that we prepare. And I pray that God will bring us much spiritual fruit in each of our lives and growth in the knowledge and love of Him who is life itself. Glory to Jesus Christ.
If you're an Orthodox Christian who has prepared this day through prayer and fasting and recent confession, received the holy gifts, please prepare to do so with us today.